시그루니 타이거 This is the chorus. We'll all sing together in between lines. 브라타 우파 바세 코타 카힐라 아라단 볼로 카힐라 아라단 Te karana paila kali tomara chara Everyone together Tu mi te sui jile more kala rupa kori ma Manda gana nai paile sanai Hena pada padma kali mastaka upari Kali kote ka bhagya bali te na pari. Everyone together. Tumita shijile more bhala rupa kori. Manda gana nai paile sanare Bala hoila naga janma hoila mahitale Janma hoila mahitale Bala hoy laghara khaila jamunar jale Everyone together Tu ta shi jile more kalarupa kori Balamanda gyana nai paile sanghare Aji suprabhata hoila kali dina mani Mashtaka pada padma dilena chakrapani Mashtaka Delane. Hey, tu mi tashi gile more kalaru pa kori mala manga gana nai paile samare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Guruve Guruchandraya, Radhikayai Tadalaye, Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya, Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya, Sasanatana Rupaka, Gopala Raghunathapta, Brajabalabhapahimam, Nama Krishnaya Ramaya, Vasudeva Sutaya Cha, Pradyumnaya Nirudhaya, Satvatam Pataye Namaha. Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyaiva Cha, Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a very nice song from Gunaraj Khan's Shri Krishna Vijay. We'll give some explanation for this tomorrow when we come to this portion of our discussion. So to touch on some of the points we spoke about yesterday, remind ourselves, Krishna had gone without Balaram to the bank of the Jamuna, and finding his dear cowherd boyfriends and cows lying in a deathly condition, Krishna's heart melted and came out through his eyes in the form of his tears, and he revived those boys. Then Krishna became a little angry, very angry. And although previously he had... Previously he had been staying away from chastising Kaliya out of some shyness to Kaliya's wives who were devotees, this was too much. And so he went to a nearby Kadamba tree. And yesterday we were speaking about that tree and how some people, some acharyas, they say that that tree had been kept alive because of some nectar which Garuda had dropped there when he was having one of his meals. And other people say that the tree came back to life by Krishna's touch. And some acharyas say that the tree was staying alive simply in hopes that Krishna would put his feet on his head. So this is a significant point in this pastime. We should understand, who is Kaliya? What does the word Kaliya mean? Kaliya iti Kala-iya. The name Kaliya is a combination of two words, Kala and the suffix iya. Iya means a resident, just like we say a Gaudiya Vaishnava. Gaudiya generally means someone who's from Gaudadesh, someone who belongs to. So the suffix in Sanskrit, iya, gives a sense that this person belongs to this. So what is the meaning of the word kala? The Amara Kosh dictionary gives a number of meanings to this word. Kala generally means black. But kala also is a kind of snake, a cobra. So Kaliya is that. He belongs to that family, very black cobra. Kala also has other meanings, though. Kala means the night, the darkness. And so Kaliya, who's a very envious person, when he makes his presence in the Jamuna, which is the heart of Vrindavan, then everything becomes dark. Kala, another meaning of the word, is iron. Just like this iron age of Kali. And according to the Amara Kosha, another meaning of the word Kala is abuse, censor, criticism, or defamation. And someone who possesses those qualities, who belongs to that person is Kaliya. And Kaliya, as we said yesterday, lives in this Hrada, this lake, which also means heart. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation is very, very right on. These are explanations our acharyas haven't given, the Bhaktivinoda has given, but it's a very obvious thing, just by understanding the meaning of the word Kaliya and the meaning of the word Hrada. So a question comes at this point. When Krishna jumped into the Jamuna, we left off yesterday with the reaction of the cowherd boys and the cows. A question comes, since Krishna was so dear to them, it's a very unpleasant question, why didn't the boys commit suicide? In his Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami says that's exactly what they wanted to do. And all of them, when they saw that Krishna was there in the Jamuna with Kaliya, they started to walk into the Jamuna. So what stopped them? So they turned around and they saw the cows were following them. And the boys, their life is the cows. Because they know that the cows are the life of Krishna. This is their service. Prabhupada writes a similar thing in one purport in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. He says that after the disappearance of the spiritual master, a genuine disciple will also leave his body. If you go to Raimuna, you may see the samadhi of Srila Rasikananda Prabhu. His samadhi is Kirchar Gopinath. He entered into the deity when he left this world. According to the Shamananda Paribar, Rasikananda Prabhu is an incarnation of Pradyumna. He's actually Vishnu Tattva. And he entered into the deity when he left. Nearby there, in that place in Raimuna, there's a small samadhi of Rasikananda Prabhu's shoes and his flute and his bed and some other personal items. And surrounding that small samadhi are a number of other smaller samadhis. And those are some of the disciples of Rasikananda Prabhu who left their bodies at the time their gurumars left. That's the nature of a real disciple. And the cowherd boys, their love for Krishna was like that. Srila Prabhupada goes on to say that the only reason a genuine disciple will continue to live is because of service to guru. They have some service to do. So similarly, the cowherd boys, they couldn't live after Krishna had jumped into the Jamuna. And they were also going to end their lives. But then they saw the cows were following them. And they couldn't tolerate that. So Jiva Goswami says, at that time, the boys became stunned. And they were standing there looking at Krishna in the Kaliya Hrada. And they were thinking, are we awake? Is this a dream? Are we sleeping very deeply? Have we fainted? Is this death or is this life? They couldn't distinguish between all these things. When Krishna jumped into Kaliya's abode, he created a great disturbance, and Kaliya became very, very angry. And he came to attack Krishna. But we left off yesterday reading the Bhagavatam's description of how beautiful Krishna was. And Srila Kavi Karnapur says that when he saw Krishna, Kaliya became full of doubt and uncertainty. He had some suspicion. He thought, who is this unknown person, this very beautiful boy, who's created such a disturbance? Who is he? Where has he come from? I've heard about him. This boy, I heard, he very effortlessly killed my very dear friend, Agasura, who was a very giant snake. How is it that this small boy could do this? And Kaliya thought, oh, I know, because he has some mystic city. He has the ability to expand his body. And therefore he expanded his body inside the neck of Agasura and killed him. So Kaliya was thinking like that, but still Kaliya was so proud. He couldn't recognize Krishna. And he thought, still with my coils, I'm going to wrap around Krishna and I'll crush him to death. Because Kaliya is pride personified. Even though he saw his friend, he heard about his friend Agasura being killed, still, because of the strength of his might, Kaliya thought that he could crush Krishna. We see this in people when they become very attached to the bodily concept and they become proud of their physical strength and body. And if Krishna is very kind to them, then he'll take that away. He'll smash them. So due to his envy, Kaliya couldn't recognize Krishna. The Bhagavatam next describes, Tamnaga boga parivita madrishta chestam alokyatat priyasakapa supabrishartaha krishne pitatma surid artha kalatra kama dukanu shoka bhaya muda dioni petuhu. When those boys, and actually this verse describes that the members of the cowherd community, the pasupa, those persons who would protect the cows, who'd accepted Krishna as their dearmost friend, when they saw Krishna captured in the coils of Kaliya, and Krishna was motionless, they became stunned. Because they'd offered Krishna everything. They've given their very selves, their families, their wealth, their wives and all pleasures. Krishna pitatma sudid. Artha means wealth. Kalatra, their wives. Their kama, all their objects of desire. Dukanu shoka bhaya mudha diyo nipetu. Full of pain and fear, they became bewildered and they fell down. How is it that this verse is speaking about the cowherd boys and speaking about their wives and their wealth? They're just young boys at that time. Srila Sanatana Goswami and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in their commentaries, they described that the boys weren't alone there. There were also some cowherd men and some farmers who happened to be in the vicinity. And when they saw Krishna's condition, they all fell down like trees cut at the root. And Sanatana Goswami, in his Vaishnav Toshini Tika, his commentary in the 10th canto, he says a very interesting thing there. This verse describes how Kaliya coiled around Krishna and he bit Krishna on the chest. We mentioned this yesterday. Sanatana Goswami says something which is very different from the other commentaries. He says that Kaliya, when he bit Krishna on the chest, he was actually kissing him. And that when he was wrapping his coils around Krishna, he was actually embracing him with love. And the verse describes it just to chastise that Krishna became motionless. Sanatana Goswami, in Vaishnava Toshini, he says that this is because Krishna was stunned with love, with ecstasy, of Kaliya's embrace. One person commented, he said that, but none of our other acharyas have described this. Well, we'll come back to this point a little bit later. It has some significance. I think maybe tomorrow we'll hopefully get to some of the deeper answers about this pastime. So, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he says that Krishna wasn't moving because of heroic pride. In effect, he was telling Kaliya, okay, go ahead. Show me your strength. Mm-hmm. He said, but later on, I'll show you my strength. Mm-hmm. And the Bhagavatam describes then the reaction of the cows. Gavo brisha vatsataraya krandamana sudukitaha krishna nyastikshana bita rudhyanja eva tashtire. Gavo brisha, the cows and the bulls and the vatsa, the calves, they all begin crying very loudly in a very distressed way. They fix their eyes on Krishna. And they stood there stunned in fear. And the Bhagavatam says, Rudyancha Eva, as if they were crying, Tashtire. But they were too shocked to shed tears. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in Sarita Darshini, he says that the cows and the bulls were standing there. They couldn't cry because the water in their eyes had dried up out of fear. And so they couldn't really weep. They were described, therefore, as Rudyancha Eva, as if they were crying. And in Vaishnava Toshini, Sanatana Goswami says that this verse shows the intensity of the relationship that the Braj cows have with Krishna. And he says there they were crying with very painful sounds. Tashtire, Sanatana Goswami says that they were like dead creatures who somehow, just like if you have, there's some dead body laying on a hill. And that dead body, there's some storm and some lightning bolt happens to hit that dead body. Then the dead body jumps up. This word tashtire, Sanatana Goswami says that this was the condition of those cows. They stood up like dead bodies being struck by some bolt of lightning. And Sanatana Goswami says that we should understand that all the creatures of the forest, the peacocks and the deer and different birds, all the animals of the Vrindavan forest, they also came to that place. And they also became stunned with shock seeing the situation of Krishna there. At that time, Kavi Karnapur, he says that the cowherd boys, they were frozen in place. And then they took their palms on their hands and put them on their heads and they began to weep profusely. And while crying out to Krishna, how painful, we can't bear to live. Seeing the whole world as void and how the whole world was near destruction, those cowherd boys fell to the ground unconscious. And at that time, the Bhagavatam describes, Ate braje mahotpatas tribida yati darunaha utpetur buvi divyatmyan asana bhaya sangsinaha. At that time, trivida, three different types of fearful omens manifested. Those inauspicious omens on the earth, in the sky, and in the bodies of living creatures, which announce imminent danger. Sridhar Swami in his Bhavartha Dipika, he explains this. He says that the omens on the earth indicated earthquakes. And Kavi Karnapur says the entire world was shaking. Very, very inauspicious omen when there's some earthquake. And Sridhar Swami says that in the sky there were meteors. coursing through the sky, which is another very inauspicious omen. And the inauspicious symptoms in the bodies of all living creatures were that in the bodies of the men, their right eyes and the right side of the body started twitching. Their left side. In the body of a man, that's inauspicious. And in the ladies, the right side. In the gopis, Mother Yashoda. The residents of Vrindavan mostly were back still in the village. But suddenly they started seeing all these different omens. Sanatana Goswami said that, he comments on this, he said that the different trees and plants, they dried up at that time because they saw Krishna's predicament and they became horrified. Because in Vrindavan, everything has consciousness. Sanatana Goswami describes in his Vaishnava Toshini that when Mother Yashoda was boiling the milk and Krishna was complaining, she went and offered her breast to him. And at that time, the milk started boiling over. And Sanatana Goswami says it was because the milk was going to commit suicide. Because the milk decided, what's the purpose of living? Krishna would much rather drink from Mother Yashoda's breast than to drink us. So better we just jump out of the pot and throw ourselves in the fire and end our life. So in Braj, everything has consciousness. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Sartadarshini, he says there's no question of anything inauspicious for Krishna. He says, but the demigods who are in charge of these different material qualities, they manifest these earthquakes and other disturbances to indicate the lamentation of the inhabitants of Braj. And Vishwanath also gives another explanation. He says that those devatas were attracted by Krishna's sweet pastimes. And they wanted to hide Krishna's aishvarja, his opulence and power. And so they produced these omens, which seemed to be very inauspicious for Krishna. Kavi Karnapur gives another explanation. He says that when they saw the Brijbasis, who were there on the bank of the Jamuna, enduring such terrible agony, the hairs of the demigods became loose and their clothing became disheveled, and they felt like their hearts were pierced with flaming arrows. And so at that time, in great distress, they called out, "Alas, alas!" And they manifested these inauspicious omens, which Kavi Karnapur says also included jackals, which began to howl very harshly at the sun. And he says that smoke and dust as black as a buffalo's horns blacken the sky. And the sun appeared to be very dull and lackluster. The very high winds began to howl in all different directions. Violent earthquakes shook the earth. And Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champu, he gives another explanation. He says that the devatas, they produced these symptoms for a purpose because they saw the cowherd boys were all lying there unconscious. So there's no question that they could go and tell Mother Yashoda, Ananda Maharaj, about Krishna's situation. So in a way to inform them about the terrible thing which was happening, the devatas produced all these different omens. Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he says that when Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and the other elderly people in Braj saw these omens and they weren't getting any news about Krishna, they became full of anxiety. They were about to die because they could understand that this was happening. Something was happening to Krishna. Sanatana Goswami says that they thought, oh, it's because Balaram didn't go with Krishna today. This is why this happened. Krishna, Sanatana Goswami says, a very interesting thing. Krishna could understand their anxiety. And so Krishna, I think Gopi Pranandana Prabhu has translated this in a very interesting way. He said that Krishna, through telepathy, he uses that word. I don't know if that word is really there in the Sanskrit exactly in that sense. But he says Krishna telepathically gave some message to one old Brijbasi. Tani Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye, as the Bhagavatam says, that Krishna inspired Lord Brahma in the heart So Krishna gave some message through telepathy. And this way to that old man. And that old man began stumbling and running to Braj to give this message. And Sanatana Goswami says that if Krishna hadn't ordered him in that way, that old man wouldn't have had the strength to run back there. And Sanatana Goswami says that Krishna made that old man the messenger because he understood that an elderly person's words are more likely not to interfere with anyone's rasa. And because he's more likely to be trusted than if he inspired one of the young boys, they might not believe him. So that old man came running back there. But before that old man had arrived there, the Brijbasis had already left Vrindavan and were already trying to find Krishna. That old man met them on the edge of Vrindavan. And when he explained to them the situation that Krishna was motionless in the coils of Kaliya, all the Brijbasis, they fell to the ground unconscious. Those Brijbasis, some of the Vishnu says that they thought, due to those omens, that Krishna had died. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that they were behaving just like a mother cow does toward her calf, and they were full of fear and anxiety. In the Sri Krishna Vijay, Gunaraj Khan gives a very heavy explanation of this point of the Leela. He says that some of the cowherd boys, they went back to tell Mother Yashoda. And what did they say to Mother Yashoda? They told Mother Yashoda and Rohini that, and all the persons there, please listen. All cowherd people of Braj. This morning, the boys said, we went to the bank of the Jamuna with our calves and we were very thirsty and we drank from the Jamuna. But the water was poisonous from Kaliya. We drank that water and we fell over. And your beautiful Gopal, he brought us back to life. And then after that, your Gopal, he jumped into the Jamuna. And at that time, this giant serpent, Kaliya, Sridhar Swami says that the Kaliya Hrada, that lake, was about 8 miles wide, and that Kaliya took up most of the space there. Kali was very, very huge in size. And the Bhagavatam says that Kaliya had 1,000 hoods, out of which 100 were prominent. So the boys, they told Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, Krishna jumped into the Jamuna. And then we saw that Kaliya wrapped himself around Krishna and he bit Krishna on the chest. And the boy said, that's all we saw. But we're sure that Krishna is dead by now. Because we saw the water of the Jamuna turn red from the blood of Krishna's body. This is what they told the mother Yashoda. And the boys said, at that time there were so many bad omens. And seeing all these things, we're sure that Krishna is no longer living. Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu, he describes the situation in a slightly different way. He says that when the Brijbasis receive news of Krishna's situation, they were going to die. Because Krishna is the life of everyone. He's Vrindavan Jivan. But Balaram stayed happy. Sanatana Goswami says a little different thing in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, but we won't go there. But Jiva Goswami says that Balaram became happy, but Balaram was thinking to himself, seeing the anguish of the Brijbasis, Balaram was suffering, seeing their pain. And Balaram was thinking to himself, they're ready to die out of fear for Krishna. And they won't listen to me if I try to stop them. But their pain is intolerable for me. So Balaram thought, Their suffering can't be erased, but at least if I acknowledge it, then that acknowledgement will ease their pain a little bit. And then at that time, Balaram smiled. The Bhagavatam describes prahashyakinchid novacha. The Bhagavatam says that Balaram smiled and he didn't say anything. Why did Balaram smile, Brinda? Was it a very nice thing to hear about Krishna's situation? Balaram smiled, Jiva Goswami says, Vishwanath says, Prahasya, because he thought to himself, Krishna is there playing with this Kaliya. He never plays with me when I manifest my form as Ananta Sesh. Why is he playing with this mundane snake, Kaliya? And he doesn't play with me in this way. So Balaram was smiling in that way. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Balaram was smiling also because he thought, what can I do to ease the pain of this situation? So he smiled. And when the Brijbasis saw Balaram's wonderful smile, their pain became mitigated. They instinctively felt, if Balaram is smiling at this point, then everything must be okay. And in that way, Vishwanath says that by seeing the joy of Balaram's smile, the Brijbasis no longer desired to give up their lives. In Pratisandarbha, Jiva Goswami speaks about this pastime. And he says that it may seem that there's some rasabhas, because the Brijbasis were feeling such intense pain, but Balaram was smiling. And Jiva Goswami says, there is no rasabhas. Balaram could understand the power of Krishna, and therefore he was smiling and laughing. This is a very insignificant thing. For Krishna to defeat this little snake, Kaliya, is nothing. And the Brijbasis, they couldn't understand, due to the potency of Yoga Maya, Krishna's position. So they were experiencing a different kind of emotion. Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita says that Balaram was sitting there in his house, and when he saw the people, Braj, running out like living corpses, Balaram started crying out, Mithya, Mithya! It's a lie! It's a lie! It's not true! Krishna's not dead. Krishna's okay. And then Balaram, he had some other duty to perform. He couldn't go with the Brijbasi, Sanatana Goswami says. He had to pacify Mother Rohini. And he told her, you stay here. You stay here and take care of the house. Watch over things. And Sanatana Goswami said that it took all of Balaram's mental strength to convince Rohini to stay there. And because of that, Balaram was late, and all the other Brijbasis had arrived there before him, and Balaram had to run to catch up with them. So, other descriptions are given a little slightly differently. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the Brijbasis began to follow the footprints of Krishna. And Sanatana Goswami says that those footprints were still there, even though the cows, thousands, millions of cows had fallen Krishna. But Krishna's footprints were still there because Krishna's footprints are so very sacred for all the residents of Vrindavan. They avoided stepping on them. And so the residents of Vrindavan, they were able to follow those footprints. And Vishwanath says that on the way, sometimes they were crying and falling on the ground, and the ground was becoming muddy with the tears from the Brijbasis, and they couldn't walk, and they were leaning on Balaram, who was helping them. So Kavi Karnapur, he says that when everyone there arrived at the bank of the Jamuna, from the distance they saw Krishna motionless in the coils of Kaliya. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur at that time, he says, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, seeing that, they couldn't take their eyes off of Krishna. And they noticed the cowherd boys were there. Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, he became full. He said, they asked those boys, tell us, what happened? Did Kaliya grab Krishna and pull him into the river? Or did Krishna jump on his own accord? Was it his idea? Was it someone else's idea? And they were just looking at Krishna. And then they realized the boys weren't saying anything. And they looked at the boys. And it looked like the boys were lying there all dead. So they were unconscious and incapable of answering. This was what Nanda Maharaj and the residents in Vrindavan found when they came there to the bank of the Jamuna. And at that time, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says they entered into a state of shock and panic. So we'll stop there. And tomorrow we can read a little something more. Balaram's words to Krishna are very, very beautiful. And we'll hear something. We won't have so much time to go over the prayers of Kaliya and the Nagapatnis. We'll read a few things and some important comments that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta makes on this pastime. I'm hoping to get to more of a purport of this Leela, at least on the last day. We have time maybe for one or two questions, if anybody has something. Speak very loudly, please. Okay, this is a nice question. If Kaliya had kissed Krishna in a mood of affection, wasn't that some kind of rasa bas? Well, there's something else going on. If we say that there's rasa bas, then we would also have to say that it was rasa bas when Krishna entered into the wrestling arena of Kamsa, because there were so many different emotions present there at that time too. And I think Rupa Goswami Lalita Madhav gives 11 different emotions, and the Bhagavatam gives 7 different emotions which are going on, ranging from the ladies of Mathura who saw Krishna like Cupid, to Vasudeva and Devaki who saw him like their son, to the yogis who saw him like the Paramatma, to Chanura and Mushtika who saw him like death personified. So it wasn't rasa bas. And how it was that Sanatana Goswami says that Kaliya had love for Krishna, this is a very interesting thing. We don't find this in any other commentaries of our acharyas. I felt a little redeemed because reading some other things from another Purana, I wanted to go in that particular direction. But the points that Purana made were not mentioned by any other acharyas, and I felt a little Brahmavivarta Purana, which is not a Purana which sometimes is quoted, but not so much by acharyas. I was a little uncomfortable. But then seeing what Sanatana Goswami said in Vaishnav Toshini, it gave me some confidence to speak on this thing. And we'll speak about this either tomorrow or the next day, if you can be patient. It'll be more appropriate if we explain it at that time. So maybe we have one more question. Is someone? Mother Srimati? Just as Kaliya represents envy and malice, so she's pointing out, for those who can't hear, that Kaliya was creating a disturbance for everyone in Braj, the cows and the cowherd boys, and with his envy. Just as Putana represents the false guru, so Kaliya represents envy. And just as Putana, she caused pain to all the Brijbasis, and very unpalatable thing is said in the Bhagavatam that she was killing the babies of the Brijbasis. Jiva Goswami says, but she actually wasn't. And by the potency of Yoga Maya, she was only killing the sons and daughters of the followers of Kamsa. But it seemed like she was doing this thing, and she was causing pain because she was particularly attacking Krishna. So in Braj, which is what we want to establish, this envy especially is there of Krishna. And maybe a little later we can describe something from Jiva Dharma and how Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about different types of envious persons, one of which is those persons who, atheistic persons who are envious of the Lord. So this envy destroys Braj, and everyone becomes full of anxiety. It's not anxiety only because of their own welfare, but in particular the anxiety because of Krishna. Because they're not worried about themselves, they're worried about Krishna. That's a very good point. So I'm a few minutes over time. I was told to finish on time, so we'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki, Gopremanande. Vamcha kopa dhrubhischa, kripa sindhu bhiva cha, patita nam pavanibhu, vaishnavibhu namo.